The commander of British forces in Iraq, Air Marshal Brian Burridge, said today the decisive phase of the war has begun, but might not end soon. Decisive phases, he said, often take time. 23,000 British troops are now in Iraq, mostly in the south, where they're battling for control of the city of Basra. There have been reports of tensions between British and American troops and of differing approaches to how the war should be fought. Charles Heyman is editor of Jane's World Armies. He says there's an obvious explanation for those differing approaches, namely that while the British Army is world-class, compared to the U.S., it's a much lower-tech force.
The Americans have recourse to just about every single aspect of military hardware that you can think about. So the Americans have got options which the British don't have. The Americans have a lot of attack helicopters. The British won't have proper attack helicopters for another 2 years yet.
How does prior experience, say, in Northern Ireland, affect how British troops are operating in Iraq?
Well, certainly all of the leaders, all of the officers by and large, and all of the non-commissioned officers, right down to the Lance Corporal or PFC level, have probably served in places like Londonderry or Belfast. And they've developed tactics to deal with snipers, to deal with machine gun attacks, to deal with bomb attacks. And a lot of those tactics are actually quite relevant inside Basra. One of the most telling examples is the way in which the British deal with snipers who are targeting maybe a vehicle checkpoint. I mean, a vehicle checkpoint is never put down on the ground on its own. There's always two patrols circling that checkpoint all the time, trying to cut off a sniper's escape route. And that proved terribly successful in Ireland, and apparently exactly the same tactic is proving very successful on the outskirts of Basra.
British forces also have a great deal of experience in peacekeeping in Bosnia, Kosovo. U.S. forces do as well, of course. How might that experience affect how they're operating?
Well, I think in the American case, there's no doubt whatsoever that force protection is priority one. And you'll always see an American patrol coming out heavily armed with body armor on, steel helmets, and ready for battle. Whereas a British patrol in what is considered to be a low-risk environment really will be wearing berets. They probably won't be wearing body armor. It does make it easier to talk to the locals. There is no doubt about that.
In fact, there were reports today that British troops in four southern Iraqi towns have taken off their helmets and now are wearing tam o'shanters or berets.
That's right, yeah. And it's all over the press. It's always a sign from the British Army that they believe that the people in the area have stopped fighting, that the area is reasonably friendly. It's a sort of sign to the locals saying, OK, the war's over. Now we need to get to know each other.
Do you think the reports of tensions between British and U.S. forces are being overplayed, or is there a legitimate disagreement there on approach?
They're being overplayed. They always are. There is tension. The tension is over the number of friendly fire incidents, the tornado that was shot down by a Patriot missile battery, and the fact that an A-10 pilot took out some British armored vehicles a couple of days ago. I think that wouldn't have been too bad, although people were killed and very badly injured. He went round for a second run, and they were making all the right signals. They put off red smoke. They were waving their flags. Their recognition panels were in place. And I think that's what made a lot of people very, very angry. But I think it's dying down now, and it's one of these things that will be part and parcel of the unfortunate background of a war.
Charles Heyman, thanks very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Charles Heyman is editor of Jane's World Armies, based in Britain.